It's time to talk about Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. And now, here's Ira.
I pulled some strings to get my two guests today, and that's because they play their own strings, and exceptionally well. It's the multi-instrumental award-winning duo, T.Y. Zhang, the grand prize winner of the Guitar Foundation of America International Concert Artist Competition, and Strauss Shi, three-time international first prize winning violinist. And together, they are known as Arco Strum, performing this Friday, November 15th at 7:30. In the Artemis W. Ham Concert Hall at UNLV Performing Arts Center. For ticket information, go to unlv.edu/PAC. That's unlv.edu/PAC. And for everything about Arco Strum, go to arcostrum.com. And you can follow them on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and TikTok. And T.Y. and Strauss, welcome to the show.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Where did I know the two of you met at Juilliard, but did you get along right away or were you arguing about music and then you finally buried the hatchet? What's the truth?
The truth is that we didn't even want it to be friends, but just like the gravity is so strong that we had to.
I think the gravity is stronger in New York. We met each other through our mutual friends first. And then we actually didn't, you know, musically collaborate until like 2-3 years later after we met. But we met each other playing pool, playing ping pong at Juilliard, just eating together, having halal guys, and just building like a really just hanging out a lot. And that's how I got to know T.Y. And then later we started to play together in hospitals, facilities, health facilities, and then that's how we slowly started to play.
So T.Y. and Strauss got together socially for a couple of years before musically.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Okay, good. How did you know that you both have obviously different approaches? How did you know the two different instruments you play would work together as a duo?
We had many guitar violin duo forms, you know, like guitar flute or guitar violin or violin piano. Throughout history. However, whenever we try to find repertoire, we go to say YouTube, Spotify, all the platforms. It's hard for us to find something compelling that we want to do. But what we want to do is like, oh, that would be so cool if we can arrange it for us. Then it kind of triggered us that the past few years. It's like, okay, let's arrange our own music from rock music, from contemporary like culture, let's say Chinese music, and then like all-time classics, tango, for example, like Vivaldi, Piazzolla, and like Defia, Spanish music. And we just kind of like, so let's cut off the limits. Let's bring everything that we want and together. And that's kind of like how we started to do together. We're just like, okay, let's just do it with what we have.
Yeah.
But was it a challenge initially because it's different? It's not a standard or formulaic approach. It's bringing all these different elements of music in. So you had a challenge to make it popular or commercial enough for you guys to be touring all the time.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a challenge because for us, it starts with excitement first. It goes, oh, this could work. Or, oh, we would imagine this would sound really cool. For example, on the Erhu and Dizi and the classical guitar. And then I would say, okay, in the middle, we're like, we might kind of hit a couple of roadblocks and we're like, oh, like we can't find this. It's not there quite yet. But it later, maybe the challenges comes a little later, but it always comes from an excitement point of view of, oh, we want to make this piece happen, or we want to do this. So it's more fun than a challenge.
It's almost as if you think about, you know what? Hey, Strauss, what if in the backyard, let's build a garage or build like a little cabin.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, well, that would be so good. We can do this. We can make a something.
Yeah.
And then we start. It's like, oh my God, it's hard. How to do electric?
Yeah.
And oh my God, the roofing. And then some day it's a very, you know, exciting project every time.
Yeah.
It's always in the details of where the challenge is. The idea is always fun. How are you able to marry the two concepts of you're performing in a lot of cultural environments, cultural centers, arenas, etc., and at the same time, I know the two of you have fun. So how do you combine those two things in that kind of environment or atmosphere?
Do you mean like cultural like venues or like
audience? Yes, in other words, generally when you're in a cultural venue, there's a more serious aspect to it, and the art is more serious than if you were to appear in a showroom somewhere in Las Vegas, or you're performing in arenas somewhere in a city, whatever country, it doesn't matter, as opposed to a performing arts center that has a certain expectation. And yet the two of you, you can tell, enjoy yourselves performing and enjoy the fun. So how do you work that?
Yeah, that I love that question because both of our backgrounds, we come from very kind of traditionally classical trained backgrounds. So when we were growing up, we did competitions, everything, and performances. It was very, of course, it's a classical standard. You can call it very serious. But when we perform together as Arkelstrom, we call our performances show. We call it a show. So we integrate kind of banter, fun, comedy, and the best playing that we can do together. So we see this as a show, and how can we have fun with the audience? So I think that's kind of what we love to do together. Mm-hmm. And the audience would never feel like, oh, like, can I laugh, or can I cough, or you can do whatever you want. You can record us, you know? So it's, we love to have fun also. Yeah.
So it's your approach is entertainment as opposed to just serious music.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So yes. Yeah. So we're kind of like, everything we do artistically has a goal, everyone. So what's your goal? What do you want to bring to people as effect, or, you know, like the artistic goal? So we have is like, we want people to have a great time. And then in the same time, so how? So we think, oh, we need to have two things. One is that we need to be entertaining. People can enjoy it, relax, feel relatable. They can resonate with the, like, you know, like the stories, the music. And secondly, that we have to hold our high professional level. We have to bring something that is substantial, that is well made to the audience.
The craftsmanship. And, you
know, yeah. So we can bring them together. Yeah. That's a goal.
And you're able to do it. So how long did it take for the two of you to realize after the first couple of years where you were just friends and then you started to work together? Was there a period of a year or two until you reached that certain level that you felt comfortable combining the professionalism with the entertainment?
I would say ever since we started playing together, we always took it pretty seriously when we played. It wasn't like, oh, you know, we'll practice for 2 years and then we'll start to get kind of, I think the craftsmanship we've always built from since the beginning, I think that's one of our, you know, the best part of playing together is we've been friends and we've been playing for almost 10 years now. So that friendship, that craftsmanship has always been there, and the quality. So I think we care a lot about those things together. We value very the same thing. So that's what's special.
Does it help to have a similar background? And I don't know that the two of you have a similar background. You met at Juilliard. So how did each of you, like T.Y., where were you originally? And Strauss, where were you originally? And by the way, Strauss, just so you know, T.Y. told me confidentially that he's going to take up the trumpet just to challenge you, just to add another.
The trumpet?
Yeah. Okay, I lied. I just wanted to cause discord for a second.
I always joke I'm going to start singing in the concert one day.
Excellent.
I don't know, but at least I'm having fun, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But to my question though, and T.Y., if you want to start, what's your background and where did you come from and grow up and then start at Juilliard, and then obviously the same with Strauss?
Okay, I was born in China near Beijing, the capital of the city, not the city, the country, and was fortunate enough because the best teachers, guitar teachers in China was in Beijing. So every week we have access, you know, take a bus to have lessons. And then I very enjoyed doing it. And the environment really helped me. The environment is very loving. It's like family, like a big family, you know, with all different ages of kids and parents. And when I turned around 17, I won two competitions in the US and then Vienna. And then our professor had how important is donation and sponsorship help artists to grow? We had a huge amount of funding come mm-hmm. from a friend of him, and are able to invite all these prestigious, you know, artists, masters from the world to Beijing to hold masterclass. And because of that, I met my professor in Juilliard, Sharon Inspin. She was invited over to play concerts, gave us a masterclass, lectures, and she saw me. She was like, "Why don't you come to Juilliard to study?" I was like, "Really? How?" She said, just apply, pass her English, and then apply. And I prepared 7 months of language and then audition. That's how I went there around like 18 years old, like 2012.
Your English is very good, by the way. So
not really good. I really need to, you know, upgrade my pronunciation, vocabulary, everything. Yeah,
but it's better than my Chinese. So your English is good.
Next time, when we talk, we'll switch. We'll do that.
Yeah. And Strauss, that has to be a phony name. Come on, where did you get that name? I love it.
Long history.
The classical music world.
Okay, so I was born in 18. No, I'm just kidding. I was also born in China. I was born in the old capital of China called Nanjing. I was raised by my grandparents until I was six. And then when I was six, I immigrated to San Francisco to reunite with my parents. And right when I landed, I think from the first week, I started to hear all these Chinese instruments in my house. They were performing as a Chinese ensemble called Melody of China. So right away, I couldn't get into a public school because I just moved, and I think they need a lot of time for me to get into the public school system. So what ended up happening was for about a year and a half, I traveled to a bunch of public schools in San Francisco, listening to my family perform like almost every other night. So I was really fortunate to grow up in that environment. They taught me all the instruments that they can teach me. And then later, when I was eight, I started studying violin, and at that time my parents they opened up a music school in San Francisco, and every day after school I would go to the music school. I would eat something, and I would just practice, do my homework. So that environment was kind of my childhood all throughout. Mm-hmm. I never left music at all. And San Francisco is such a amazing kind of very, I would say, like very intimate, small hub of like all these instruments, these musicians that, you know, I met in San Francisco that really inspired me. Like my teacher, Chen, who, you know, later prepared me for the Juilliard School. So this multicultural background of Western violin and the Chinese Eastern really shaped who I am today. And when I met T.Y. at Juilliard, right away, we actually didn't integrate the Chinese instrument side for me. We did violin, guitar first, and that was my major at Juilliard too. And then not until later with the CAG competition, we really kind of digged into our roots. The pieces that I've known when I was young, and then how can we make this a new thing for the CAG competition? And now our program is all about stuff, pieces that we love in our childhood and making it brand new for now.
Okay. Yeah. Come back to the question. What's up with your name?
Oh, yeah. Completely skip that. So both of my parents are professional musicians. My dad is the biggest fan of Chopin, Strauss, and these romantic composers, European composers. And then, so he, one of the things, he loved kind of European literature, Western literature. And, you know, he didn't necessarily want me to become a musician, but he just loved that name so much. He just gave it to me. He was like, okay, you're going to be Strauss. and then, and he loved the Danube Waltz, the Blue Danube Waltz. And mm-hmm. also, side note, I think Strauss was came from a very rich family, and he was a musician, and so he wanted to kind of give me that good fortune, good luck of if I become a musician one day, I'll also be able to enjoy the fruits of my labor as a musician. And I think, you know, I'm very lucky.
Yeah, no, that's great. And it's one syllable. You could have been Rachmaninoff, she, you know, that.
Yeah, that would be pretty hard to pronounce in Chinese, actually.
Yes, it would. Speaking of your folks and relatives and all and the friends from both of your backgrounds, do they get a chance to see you perform, the two of you perform? Have you gotten feedback from them? Because you're traveling all the time, so you don't get a chance always to be in one spot.
Oh, actually, my family is in Los Angeles, where we live right now. And for the CAG competition, we got a lot of advice and help from both of my parents. Mm-hmm. And they were able to, you know, help us a lot. Okay, this could work, and then this would sound better on this. And we got a lot of good coaching and help from them. So they're constantly always with us. Yeah.
Well, that's good. You're getting feedback, and obviously they're proud of you guys for doing what you're doing as well.
Yeah.
And given your background, I would imagine that you are, you know, you merge your music, if that's a term, merge, but I can use that, merge the various genres of music. And as a result, I could see you also then performing globally and it works out because of the fact that you can appeal to so many different types of people.
Yeah, I think very much. This summer, we went to China for our first concert together as Orchestrum. TY, very good friend in China, they invited the both of us together. And we were able to, I guess I would say, we had a very good test run of the pieces that we play, both Western and Eastern combination. And I think the audience resonated really well with what we do together. And I think it was a really exciting effect for us to, you know, having studied in the US for so long and then kind of bring everything that we played and learned back. And I think it was a really good, really good vibe for everyone. Yeah.
When the two of you perform, because your music is both East and West, is your language in a way, the dialogue from the two of you on stage, is it also East and West? Meaning, do you speak a little Chinese and English, or do you, depending on the audience?
This time in China, we obviously spoke Chinese through the whole concert. I was able to practice my Chinese, even though I speak Chinese at home with my parents. But TY, he left China when he was 17, but I left when I was six. When I was six. So my Chinese is like an elementary school Chinese. So I was able to like brush up on my Chinese also. But yeah, in China, we speak Chinese. Here, we speak all English. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, then you could say the same as T.Y. is his English is elementary compared to yours because you came at an earlier age.
You should see my handwriting.
Good point. Now, when you combine the various music that you do, have you thought about this? Like, is there a word to describe, one or two words to describe the duo's approach, your approach in music, the synergy that you bring to the performance? Is there a word or two that you've come up with? And I want to ask you about Orchestrum as a name in just a second, but first this. I'm just wondering whether you've come up, between the two of you, you've come up with a name for your unique musical approach.
I just thought of something. Right. And I would say for us, our biggest goal for us is modernly traditional, modern traditional, because we studied all of these traditional backgrounds and techniques and going to school, and but we're making it modern. We're making it orchestrum style now. So wherever we go, we wish people, when they listen to us, they go, oh, this is a very orchestrum piece or arrangement, and they they can make it new and exciting and very orchestrum. So I think that's modern traditional is very us.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
PY, you agree?
I totally agree. So that's kind of our core genre, is that we kind of combine a lot of, you know, like throughout time and throughout genre together. We say like, I forgot, like cross era, like, you know, like.
We're multicultural, you
right
know, era, and then we're willing to
combine
tackle,
our, yes.
Anything.
Yeah. Yeah. And then another note is that we, sorry, that's my dog.
Yeah, I see him.
He's going to join a little later.
Our listeners don't see him, but our viewers do see. So that's good. Love dogs, so, you're fine.
Well, so come back to the point of our goal. And on top of that, program building is that we wanted to be create our experience. So we named our new season's concert program title as Orchestrum Experience. We want to make that a brand, which is people know, we know we're going to have a great time, listen to like wow, like, for example, you know, like some of the music arrangement is that, wow, I know that music from orchestra arrangement. Oh my God, they played it. I feel so connected. Or something, oh, Chinese, so new. Something Argentina, oh, tango makes me want to dance. And just make an experience. Also, we want to create a movie-like experience from our last season. So it's everything about, it's not just several pieces together, but it's 1.5 hours of experience that you sit through. We want to program, you know, like the transitions between every piece, like how people would feel, like after this piece, what would be the best? And after that piece, what would be the best? Mm-hmm. When do we talk? What's the tone? We kind of trying to craft like a movie experience.
Mm-hmm. And again, Orchestrum is performing this Friday, November 15th at 7:30 in the Artemis W. Ham Concert Hall at UNLV Performing Arts Center. We'll mention it again at the end too. So Orchestrum itself, did the two of you wake up from a bad nightmare and come up with this name? Or
oh my God.
Was it, that's a joke. Of course, or did you come up by just simply brainstorming and come, how did we get this Orchestrum?
We
does
used
strum to refer to guitar playing, like strumming a guitar, or what?
Okay, so we broke up as the best friends duo and became Orchestrum. I'm just kidding. Actually, we our former name, we were called the best friends duo. That's what we...
We had no name. We are so lucky as a professional duo, but we never had intention to do professional duo. We just love being together, hanging out, making music, play for communities. And then this great presenter, Richard, from Omni Foundation in San Francisco, trust us enough. We didn't have a name. We didn't have a website. No competition. He trusts us, gave us a full concert booking for us. You guys play concert here. That was like one of the most prestigious guitar festival series in the West Coast. And we're like, oh my God, this is like tier one stage. What do we do?
Yeah.
And they're like famous recording made from that church as well.
Yeah.
And then that boosts us with so much trust, excitement, encouragement, and responsibility to create the best program that we could.
Yeah.
That kind of boosted us and to, you know, work super hard for it.
Yeah.
And then we didn't have a name. We have to have a name. What do we call the best friends deal on the spot? And we use the recording applied Concert Artist Guild right after. And then they say, okay, you guys can be on the roster, but you have got to change your name.
And then they're like, you know, not that you can't be best friends, but so after we were signed with them, we had many different ideas for names, and then Orchestrum ended up being the most very us, I think. And it's Arco means the bow, using the bow, because I play the violin and I play the erhu. I supply the bow, and then TY supplies the strum. And that's how we became Orchestrum.
The name was came up by my USC, University of Southern California professor, William Conningheiser. He's always such a character, super funny, and really care for students, many things. And he offered to coach us when we were, you know, like trying to, you know, like build up our repertoire, like gave us so generous free lessons, advice. We called him, any ideas? He's like, let me think about it. And he calls back with the Argos drum name, and we end up using that.
Well, yeah, I think you are slightly off on that, because what it should have been called, according to your partner, is Arco Strauss.
Arco Strauss.
Arco Strauss, yes. See, and
that's a very TY joke. TY makes that kind of joke.
Oh, I love that joke.
Arco Strauss.
Arco Strauss.
That would have been reflected on one of you, but not both of you, unfortunately. So that, you know. But so Arco Strauss, yeah, it definitely sticks in your head when you once you hear it. And you can do it. So take us through, you're coming out on stage, the two of you, and because you're a duo, is there an expectation that you're not going to perform individually during the performance, or is it strictly both performing as a duo?
Oh, that's a great question. So for our Vegas program, we do have solos, obviously duo. Imagine we come out separately. That would be such a
We're not talking, but we'll still agree to perform together on stage just at the same time.
And I just talk about him and then I'm on. No, we have, yes, our program this season, we have solo and duo. The solos are the pieces that are really close to us when we play as soloists. We both perform lots of solo when we're not together. And these are the closest pieces to us growing up. And when we have solo, this is so confusing. When we have duos, then we play the pieces that represents us the best.
It's kind of like the reason why we bring solos is because it's for the better experience, artistic experience, for the audience. Imagine the more variety you bring, craft together, like the more, you know, they can see, like from a movie, it's not just like one scene or two sets, but it's like, oh, we go to the city, oh, we go to the outer space, we get on a plane, we go to the ocean. And then we truly believe, because we came from soloist background, if we insert something that is, we think would really benefit for the full experience, I think it would give audience such a like refreshing experience altogether.
And it gives the audience a sense of each of you individually, as well as the two of you together as a duo. So I like that approach. Yeah. It makes sense. Before I let you go, last question. What do you see for the future for Arco Strum or Arco Strauss? Either way.
Well, starting tomorrow, we're going to be called Arco Strauss.
Yeah, there we
go. So I'll be the sound guy.
Sorry about that, TY. I should have brought it up. And now it's going to be changed altogether.
And then TY will be TY Strum.
Yeah,
that's actually pretty good.
That's pretty good. We should do like, hello, everyone. I'm Arco Strauss. And I'm like, I'm TY Strum.
Yeah, you just gave us an idea.
Thank you. I just want 10%. That's okay.
Yeah. Actually, so this season we have really exciting projects coming up. We're actually looking forward to the spring. We have our New York debut at Merkin Hall, the ultimate Arco Strum experience, if the listeners are ever in New York in April. We have that, our big concert by CAG and Kauffman Center. And then we're working on a couple of very exciting pieces and program. I'm not going to reveal too early, but you're very welcome to come and listen and check it out. And yeah, so follow us and you'll see. Yeah.
We just want to mention that, sorry. We really, one thing that happened in my mind from the previous question was kind of what encourage us to be this kind of like, can you blossom outside of the box genre, not only just seriousness in the concert hall, is the existence of the concert artist guild competition. And because of them, we saw the past winners, how diverse they are. They could be soloists, not just, you know, must be like violinist or like, you know, a vocalist or like, you know, pianist, but we see winners from across all instrumentalists, And then there are some groups that combine with very unique instrumentations. So it really encouraged us. And there was also like, you know, some people play electric guitar or like electric keyboard, mini piano. We're like, wow, this stage is really for creativity. It's like a sandbox. You can enter in any form. If it's compelling, you will get in. So the existence of the platform really kind of like encouraged us to, you know, like be who we are actually, not just trying to, you know, like form to like who we're supposed to be. So we really want to thank the organization. Also help us to grow so much, give us advice after we are signed throughout the, you know, the past almost like 1.5, 2 years.
Yeah.
So
well, that's a great way to leave it. My guests have been T.Y. Zhang and Strauss Xi. Together, they are known as Arco Strum, performing this Friday, November 15th at 7:30 p.m. in the Artemis W. Ham Concert Hall at the UNLV Performing Arts Center. For ticket information, go to unlv.edu/PAC. That's unlv.edu/PAC. And for everything about Arco Strum, go to arcostrum.com, and you can follow them on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and TikTok. T.Y. and Strauss, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, thanks for having us.
See you next time.
You've been listening to Talk About Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. Happy